Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am joined by a dear friend of mine, a guy I have mad respect for, Jay Cardiello. Jay Cardiello is actually one of the first, he hates this term, but I'll use it just because I think a lot of you might relate to it. He was one of the first celebrity trainers that I met after founding Fitfluential, and I got to sit down, chat with him, have lunch in New York, and we've met and hung out several times. And every single time I hang out with Jay, I learn more, and I feel like I'm part of his process of evolution. He's just growing and maturing and becoming more, less focused on fitness specifically and more focused on general health and really helping people and leading by example in his own life. He's incredibly knowledgeable, but also incredibly inspiring and motivating. And I know you're going to pick up on this in this interview. Just a little bit from his bio on his site, Jay Cardiello is an industry-leading health strategist respected in both the fitness and medical communities. Jay uses his extensive knowledge of nutritional science, exercise medicine, and empathetic motivational listening to accomplish a single goal: to improve the quality time of your life in a way that is fun and achievable one step at a time. Jay is also the star of the ABC television show, My Diet is Better Than Yours, and is the creator of the Jay Cardiello No Diet Plan. We do talk about the whole word diet, if you will, and the fact that he doesn't believe in diets. We talk a lot about fitness, how it's become so overly complicated. I don't want to give away the whole show, but again, this is your first peek at Jay Cardiello. He's definitely going to be back a lot. We'll be doing some Twitter chats with him coming up. And I know that if you've never listened to or paid attention to Jay Cardiello after the show, you'll want to tune in more. He's a fantastic individual, and I'm excited to bring this interview to you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I am joined by a dear friend and an awesome guy with an amazing amount of knowledge, and he's going to just throw it down today, Jay Cardiello. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today, Kelly. I'm excited. I really like that intro. Just keep on talking. I like that.
Hey, it's just the natural way I flow. And every time I'm around you, I still remember the first time we had coffee in New York, and I was like so enthralled meeting you. And I think every time we get together, we have really great coffee. Where was that? Just for listeners that are in the New York area, what was that hotel the last time we met? That sounds inappropriate.
Yeah, that does sound inappropriate.
I totally didn't realize it was going to come out that way. But we had really great in the lobby. We met and had coffee. What was that hotel where that you can have coffee and crumpets in the lobby?
Sure. That's the Parker Meridian. And I'm not a spokesperson for it, but that's on 56th between 6th Avenue and 7th Avenue. And it's great because they have one of the better gyms that just feels like a your home private gym, because it's called Gravity, and I work out there a lot, and it's a great feeling as opposed to some hotel gyms you walk in, you're like, okay, there are no machines.
Oh God, so. Yes. And they also have, not that I've ever used one, I need to get in with the in crowd on this, but they have like a dry bar downstairs, isn't that right, for the ladies?
I have short hair, but yes, they do. They definitely do.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember you were showing me the gym, and it was very cool because you were about ready to train my boyfriend, I'm pretty sure. And you know, you were getting ready and I'm like, I need to come join you. But then I thought, no, I'll go get a pedicure instead. So I've got priorities. But anyway, let's dive right in. I'm so glad to have you on the show. We've been talking about this for a while and I just, you're just such a great person. I'm so glad everybody's going to get to know you. But for those that are here listening, you know, it's the beginning of January 2017, right? And everybody's starting to think about getting healthier and getting fit. But there's a lot of people that might not have heard of you yet, Jay. So for those few unaware, those that haven't been enlightened yet, tell everybody on the show, you know, how you got into the fitness, health, and wellness industry and why.
Sure, Kelly. It was really by accident. And I say that wholeheartedly because it was an accident. I was an athlete at the University of Arkansas on their track and field team. And I always say fortunately, people say unfortunately, I came down wrong in the long jump. I was a long jumper and stepped too hard in front of my body and physics. What goes in three times comes back out. And I literally broke my tailbone. It's called quadricoxic. Mm. And 13 surgeries later, they put everything back together. And it was at that point, the year that I spent in a body cast laying on my back, I really had to look and see how more or how much more I can give to the world as opposed to giving to myself. As an athlete, you're so self-absorbed and you're working on yourself and you're working on your mind. I said, at this point, I got to start giving as opposed to trying always to get. And at that point, I jumped into it, transferred to the College of William Mary. And then this is a long time ago. We didn't have the emails like we did today. And I want to age myself, but I basically hand wrote every coach in the NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, basketball, and said, listen, I'll sweep your floors. I want to learn more about the body. I want to train the mind. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers called me and they put me in on as an apprentice. And then I spent 10 years coaching professionally in athletics. And then after that, I got a call from a Mr. Curtis Jackson, your boyfriend. And I lived with him for 4 straight years. And that was exciting. I got to see the world differently than you would from, you know, just every day going on a trip. But it was great. He's great to work with. We've been together for 11 years now. Spent some time as an editor for several magazines. Had a TV show on ABC called My Diet is Better Than Yours. But what I'm most proud of is I dove heavily into behavior modification, habit training, forming habits within people's mind, and put together a company called Off the Scale. And it's now implemented into Mount Sinai Hospital System, and it's working on behavioral intervention. And from there, now I do a lot of speaking about behavioral change and making sustainable outcomes as opposed to just getting in shape for 90 days and then figuring out what you have to do.
You are so, I mean, and I've said this to you every time we get together. I'm like, you're the picture perfect example of evolution, and you evolve with what you learn and what you know and what you realize is truly the key to health and wellness and a long and happy life. And you're very balanced about that. You know, there's a lot of air quotes celebrity trainers out there where all they're focused on is their client portfolio and getting their name in the press. You're not like that. But just focusing really on the exterior, you know, what does this celebrity look like or that celebrity? And, you know, Curtis and I, we've been together so long. And, you know, whenever we sit over dinner and crumpets and tea, we talk and we say, Jay is so awesome. And you really are. You obviously very much know what you're doing as far as getting an athlete into shape, getting a celebrity into shape. But I've also noticed, as I was referring to in your evolution, you started to become much more passionate about, I guess I would say, helping the people that are sick, if you will, you know, healing the sick, helping people that really need more of a life fix in getting healthy, not just, you know, you started to move away from the trend in fitness, which is all about fast transformation, getting chiseled and buff. And when you and I would talk, you're like, I don't want to focus on that as much. And in fact, you know, I didn't get to watch the show, which because I travel too much, I don't watch as much TV as I used to. But on the show you mentioned, ABC, My Diet is Better Than Yours, you were mentioning that you were kind of in regards to diet on that show, a little bit of an outcast. Tell us more about that. What was that experience?
Sure. Well, for first, I want to regress back to what you said. You know, celebrity trainer, I hear that word a lot. I'm not a celebrity trainer. There's no fans waiting outside my door. We're not celebrity trainers. You know, if you live in, you know, Gunnar Peterson said it best, if you live in the financial district, are you a financial trainer? So that has to be taken off, because you're supposed to be celebrating your client's life, not your own. So there's a big disconnect there. There's no congruency between what you're doing and the service you're providing. But on the show, I was paired with some amazing experts, some guys and gals that I'm still very close with. And I respect their work, and I love them to death. What I approached was something differently. I don't believe diets work for sustainable outcomes. I never have, and I don't see them ever being placed into the medical world to create anything sustainable. And I addressed it, and the tagline was, I have the no diet plan. Food is a habit, not the root cause. I mean, if you go to alcohol or drug rehab, you're not on cocaine, and then you switch to a lesser drug. The doctors, the advisors ask, why are you here? So my biggest thing is that I focused with my client on the show, which I do with all my clients, is why are you doing what you're doing? And I want to figure out the why, address the why, because the biggest thing, the workouts are easy. They're really easy. You show up, you do the work, you leave. It's what you do away from me for 23 other hours. That's where Ben and Jerry and Johnny Walker show up. So if you don't have those habits broken, there's going to be problems later. And it's not the quick fix. It's changing the mind, creating environmental change at home, and having the right support system of people around you. And that's what I've always focused on.
And, you know, you brought up a couple points there that are a great segue, because I know you, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, you've worked in the space with obesity, folks, you know, addressing the obesity epidemic. And, you know, I know of several folks just personally in my life, friends or colleagues that had, you know, like the surgery, you know, they've had the gastric bypass, and I don't think they worked on, like you're saying, what was the key source. What happened in their lives that they got to the point where they were obese? Because what happened is, however many months or potentially even years later, all of that weight and more is back on. And people just still, I'm sure you see it, and it's probably extremely upsetting to you based on what you know, there just are still these media messages permeating, where it's just as simple as all women should be having 1200 calories. You should, if you're not losing weight, cut your calories more. You know, it's all about what you burn and so on. And it's really not that simple. And just like you said, if you're not working on the core, then, and I don't mean that from an ab workout perspective, I should clarify, if you're not really working on what caused you to get there, you're really not going to have a long-term sustainable outcome. Would you say, when you observe the fitness industry and whether it's magazines or what you see on television or a lot of these, you know, online streaming fitness programs, do you think for all the newbies out there that are just starting to get healthier and more, you know, they want to get more fit, do you think that there's so much confusing information that it's almost most of the stuff that's out there is probably pointing them in the wrong direction?
To answer your question, I'll say this first. The programs that are out there, the places you go work out, if you want change, if you want to have fun, listen, there wasn't a whistle and a stopwatch when you ran around as a child in the playground. The places are great. Workouts are made for people and have fun and enjoy. But the fact is we're at an epidemic of 70% of America's either a combined of overweight and obese, and chronic conditions are on the rise. My son has the first generation to ever have a shorter lifespan on my own. So there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. And there's a lack of education, and there's a lack of confidence building. There's a lack of support. And in my opinion, there's a lack of direction upon what really needs to be focused on. Listen, programs are good when you can achieve the obstacles and getting past the obstacles, and as you strengthen your mind, those programs are wonderful and they do some great things and there's some great people out there. However, with the rise of the epidemic of obesity and overweight and the chronic conditions, there needs to be better education. I mean, there's organic Rice Krispie treats, which makes no sense to me. There's gluten-free Twinkies. There's the word natural, which is not clearly defined by the FDA, but if it's on a Fritos, bag. Everyone's like, oh, it's healthy. And then there's a misconception that if I crush myself and I can't walk the next day, that's a great workout. But where is that going to help when you lose your job, you lose your wife, you're going bankrupt, you just got fired? When is that going to help? So it's kind of, the irony of this is that in drug rehab, you focus on the mind. Before you get married and you walk down the aisle, you have a relationship with this person for hopefully several years. You go to school for several years before you go out into the workforce. But we in the fitness industry think that in 30 days, we can change our whole life. That's not true. Because then we go wholly against science. But now here's the thing. You can change your thought process like that. I mean, we had a wonderful woman stand up in the back of a bus, and doing that, she said, I can't stand anymore. And she made the change. We have people say, I do, and they made the change in a moment's notice. Along those lines, it has to be continued in the mind. It has to be continued. And just going for, you know, a workout for 90 minutes or 90 days or these 20 days or whatever it is, what do you do at day 21? I'm confused. It doesn't make sense. So you do it over. And what happens if you lose a loved one? I mean, there has to be some mind strength going on, and society and is getting sick of it. And the medical field is going, I told you so.
You brought up so many juicy tidbits. I mean, in everything you're saying, I'm like writing notes down here going, make sure I ask him about this. But I love the example of drug rehab, because I certainly know quite a lot of folks. In fact, we actually had some good interviews earlier on for folks that have gotten past addiction. And I think about so many of those friends and colleagues that I know personally, whether it's going into drug rehab, whether they're still, you know, in an AA program, they really transform their life and who they are as a person. When you talk to them, they really seem to be self-aware. They've become very, like you said, they're focusing on what was making my mind so messed up that I did this, that drove me to not care. And they've looked at all that. They figured out what matters to them. And as you said, so many of these fitness programs, how many people do we talk to where they've said, oh, I've tried every diet on the planet. I tried this plan. I tried low carb. I tried HIIT workouts. I tried running. It's not the program. It's the person. And so I love that you brought that up and, you know, that you're calling stuff out on the fitness space. These are things that we talk about on the show that need to be first and foremost for everybody to consider, which is becoming more self-aware. And when you and I talked before the show, I actually wrote down one of your quotes. You said, change has to happen between your ears. And I'm curious, if you were sitting down with somebody, let's just say one of our listeners that was coming and they had a chance to sit down and have crumpets and coffee with you at our favorite hotel lobby. And they were saying, I really want to get healthy. You know, I want to lose 40 pounds. They're always going to lead with that, right? How much weight they want to lose. I want to lose 40 pounds and tell me what to eat. And, you know, we hear a lot of people that'll write into FitFluential and say, I've heard I should just go gluten-free. Is that the answer? It's all about low carb. So they think it's a quick fix. If you were sitting down with somebody and you could tell them what's the most important thing to focus on for the next 2 weeks, how would you address somebody whose mindset is so focused on what we typically see in the media and fitness?
Well, one of the first things that you have to do is, it's a great question, is have a rapport with the person. If they're talking loud, I got to talk loud. If they're excited, I got to be excited. If they're talking very monotone or soft, I have to come down. So there has to be a connection. A rapport has to be. It's like if you wear a Giants jersey, I'm not going to wear a Jets jersey. We're just not going to, we're not going to connect. So there has to be that connection. The next thing is the purpose. I remember on the TV show, my client, Jeff, wonderful guy. He was close to 400 pounds, had 4.5 pages of chronic conditions. And now I wouldn't do this with the person, but I'm just giving an example. As I said, we went to the couch. I sat on the couch because he spends most time there watching football games. And I said, I want you to stand up and I want you to write out your obituary and have your daughter read it. And he wrote it. He broke down. And from there, the purpose became, and what he's always wanted, is to walk his daughter down the aisle. See, people come to me and say, you know, hey, listen, I need to lose 35 pounds. That's not attractive. That's a pushing away factor. If you want to get rid of your man boobs, that's attractive. If you want to be the first in your family to not have diabetes. That's attractive. If you want to dance at your son's wedding, that's attractive. We put in too many pushing, and we need to, in a sense, create some pulling. What's your purpose? What's the why factor? Losing weight, it's pretty simple. I'm fortunate to train the people in the entertainment business. It's pretty simple. But what's sustainable? That's the difference. Mm. And one of the first things I do is that I just have people get up a minute early. That's too easy. Then why didn't you do it? Because I always tell people, if I was downstairs at your house at 4:30 in the morning and I had a check for $5 million, would you show up? Yeah, heck yeah, I'd be there at 4 o'clock. And I said, okay, get up 5 minutes early. Well, you know, I just like to get – it's not important. Hmm. It has to be important. And you look when you see the Powerball being played, everybody shows up. But who really does the work? It has to, number one, be important. And number two, you have to have a why to pull you. If you know you're going bankrupt and you have four kids to feed, there's an urgency right there. Mm. But the funniest thing is this. We all live right before we're about to die. We ask, I wish I would have spent. So I tell people, because my dad told me this, and he passed. He said, Jay, never give yourself the opportunity to ask what if. And he was the only person under my tutelage that I've ever lost, and I'll never have another one. And I always say that you're the author of your life. You want your obituary to be and your eulogy and everyone to read as a celebratory that you lived. Doesn't matter what you do, it's that you lived. We forget we're here for a very short time and this breath may be my last. So why not have a celebratory time as opposed to something so fixated in sets and reps? That's BS. Mm. It's about what you want, why you want it. And then just figure a ritual that you're going to do on a daily basis to achieve that. And when you achieve it, pat yourself on the back. It's like cheat days. I hate cheat days. I can't. What about your cheat? Forget it. It's like the calendar. What about the resolutions? If you haven't resolved your past, you can't grow in the future. Stop.
Oh, God, that's good.
You know, stop.
That's good. I need to quote you on that later. That's awesome. And, you know, you brought up, I'm taking a bit and piece from here and there from a couple of things that you said, but, you know, first of all, I love, again, I think what we're picking up here is this is not something if you want to get healthier. It's not something to compartmentalize. Don't just look and say, oh, you know, I went to the doctor. I got a bad report. I've got to start working out or cutting out this so that I can lose weight. And it's just a short-term fix. And you compartmentalize it and you just say, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. I got a gym membership. I'm going to go every night and get on the treadmill and run half an hour. And you think that that's it. Without taking a step back, and I think everything you're talking about here collectively is speaking to, again, look at the big picture. Look at how you want to live. How, you know, and this is part of becoming self-aware, is taking that or lifting your head up, figuratively speaking, to look at your life. I mean, I had a pretty life-changing experience in October of 2015. I took a trip with three other girls. I was on a trip with a client of ours, and I just had this moment of awareness of like, wow, I've for 5 years just been working and working and working, and I thought I was being healthy, but it was really all about just, like you said, fitness focused, I was always rushing to get skinnier and very fast fixes without realizing it. I was treating myself and my body and my life like it was, you know, kind of a joke. There was no self-care. There was no self-awareness of how I wanted to live and what my life was going to look like in my 50s, 60s, 70s. And a lot of what I'm hearing you saying, you know, you referred to when you talk to a client, how much TV are they watching? You talked about some of your clients that, hey, they don't think about what's going to happen, you know, with their eating habits, or maybe it's the drug habits or what have you, if they lose a job, get a divorce. And these are all life things that happen to all of us, and nobody plans for it, and they're not ready. It sounds like you talk a lot with clients and you're passionate about, this is a lot of what we talk about in the show, is lifestyle. It's not just getting on a treadmill. It's not just saying I'm going to have 1500 calories, but it's getting quality sleep. Like you said, eating good food, not trying to get a bunch of stuff that has natural or gluten-free written on the package, getting sleep, having time with your loved ones, having balance. Are these things that you think a lot of people in this day and age are ignoring or not paying attention to enough?
I'm going to answer it like this. We all have the answers to the test. Fitness, health are pretty simple. Realistically, if you ate the greenest of vegetables and made that the staple of every meal, and you went for a walk every day, that's health and fitness. It's pretty simple. However, it's too complicated. We've made it so complicated so we can seem more educated, the educators. We've made it so complicated that it's so sexy, the industry. The big thing, the big focus, what it should be is that we're here for a short time on this planet. It needs to be celebrated. It's too much on, we celebrate if we work 100 hours. It's like when, hey, I wake up at 5. I wake up at 4:30. So what? And it starts, it really starts, and this is sleep is the new sexy, but it never has been. We really need to go to bed more. Number two is we need to, in a sense, let our minds go more. Meditation is my number one focus and has been for quite some time. I just kept it under wraps is that I meditate more than exercise. I exercise, maybe I'm doing it on Instagram, really just anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes a day. And that's just because I like to. It's nothing more than that. I'm not crushing it for an hour. That's I want to be with those time. I want to be with my son. I want to be with my friends. I want to be reading and educating myself beyond what I ever thought I could. It's not – fitness is so backwards. It's emotional, spiritual, nutritional, and the last part is physical. But fitness is sold as the physicality. And when we're such in a therapy culture – that's not working because you do not, and I'll say this again, go to drug rehab and focus on the drugs. You focus on the why. You focus on the sense why you made it. People don't wake up and say, I want to do coke. Something happened. I was put in a locker as a kid. I was done this. My family abused me. My parents got divorced and bang. And it's the same thing with, now you and I, you gain 5 pounds. All right, I got to stop, having a beer when I watch the game, whatever. We understand it. The fact is that people don't focus on the reality. We focus on a quick fix and then we jump to the next thing. It's like juicing. And then we brag about it we walk around the office. I'm juicing. I'm starving. And then it's like, today, okay, I'm on the Haagen-Dazs diet. And then tomorrow I'm going to be on the cleanse diet. And we're on the detox. And it's these lies and these labels. I mean, you can't detox your body. Your body does it naturally. So why are we making billions of dollars off of detox products? It makes no sense. It really makes no sense, but we're so confused. So the barrier of entry for person on the couch is just like, these are the obstacles. I feel guilty. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. And here's what I say. All you have to do is breathe. Take a minute to breathe. Well, what does that do? It shuts you off. And there's the problems. We have the problems in our head. We create stories that don't exist, and the stories we do have are much bigger. Tony Robbins says it the best. He says, divorce your story, marry the truth. It's like when you have a problem with your boyfriend, girlfriend, it's the end of the world. But is it really? True. It's not.
Mm. So many good truths that you're laying down there. And I love what you said earlier. It's not that complicated. You know, one of the biggest things that I've learned, and I'm happy to use myself as an example for our listeners, because, I founded a company that's in the fitness space. We're really transforming and evolving our company based on everything I'm learning and we're learning and what we're talking about today, which is it's not that complicated. It's not about, whether you're gluten-free or paleo or vegetarian or vegan. It's simple. Live in life. Get outside more. Get some sun. Enjoy time with your family. It's not cool and sexy to work yourself into oblivion. And people are missing the boat. Like you said, they're focused so much on the ridiculous details and not focusing on some things that are just relatively common sense. Is it this app? Is it that app? It's really just keeping it simple and maybe getting back to basics. I love to hear from somebody like you. I think a lot of people listening to this would probably freak out that you exercise. And I love that you said exercise versus workout 5 to 15 minutes a day. Would you say that you see generally, you know, we've been talking a lot about fitness myth understandings. That's a term that I didn't coin, but we use it a lot on the show. People think, and I used to be one of them, you know that, Jay. Do you see that overtraining or people thinking they need to work out 90, 120 minutes a day in order to get really healthy or really in shape? Do you still see that permeating the industry?
Well, the big thing that's permeating the industry, as I mentioned before, is that we are at a epidemic with obesity and an epidemic of people being overweight and an epidemic of being chronic conditions. So there's an emergency the hammer is being dropped, and something has to change. But it's not about getting on the scale. It's not about getting more to the gym. It's realizing that two things. Number one, go to a playground and watch children. Watch them run around. They're not confused. They do jumping jacks. They run around. They play tag. And then go to an old age home and sit with people. And you'll hear this more times. I wish I would have. Why didn't I? The gap between when we're an adolescent and to when we're at our golden years, we destroy that vision, that imagination, that creativity that we were when we were a child. My son's 4 and a half, and I watch his imagination and I support his imagination. And some days we do have chocolate chip cookies, and it's okay. But he understands that his focus for everything right now is strengthen that mind. Be whatever you want and give as much as you can to the world. And with that, that's fitness. Because the more you give, the more you will get in return. And it's not monetary. I've been very fortunate to come from nothing and then fortunate to be where I am and then have it all taken away and then getting back on the horse. But when I came back the second time, it wasn't the focus of I have to be the best out there. No. I have to give the most out there. You know, we have a little thing real quick in my house is that I set aside $200 every month. Now it seems like a lot to some people. That's what I give away, and not to a charity, even though I'm involved with St. Jude. I randomly walk around, and if someone's at a bodega, as we call them here in New York City, and you see them late at night, they're paying with their EBT cards, buddy, it's on me tonight. Another person, you're on a train, you're walking off, they could be the financier of Goldman Sachs, and they can be the poorest of poor. So I work on giving. I know $200 is what I give right off the cuff to other people every month. And that's all I work for. Over to $200, that makes me rich. So $300, I'm a rich man. So that's all my focus is. And that's fitness. But we don't teach that. We teach the abs, the butt, the smile. You know, I guess when I die, I'm going to go out there and smiles, and I won't have to say what if. I'll have to say, no, this was a great trip.
I love every single thing you just said, and what a great approach to life. And frankly, that too is a lot of what we're focusing on the show, in that a big part of being, you know, air quotes around fit, right, it is being happy and living your life right and giving back. Because actually we talked about this. We recorded an episode of This Week in Health and Wellness, and some of these studies are showing, you know, people that live happy lives, that are low stress, that are, you know, incorporating things like meditation and balance and giving back, but they've chosen how they want to live their life. It's not usually a reflection of how much money you make, but it's like, hey, this is how I want my life to be. I want to wake up in the morning and I want to feel good. And I don't think anybody gets up and says, you know, I hope when I get out of college that I work 90 hours a week. I might have a relationship, but I hope I screw it up. I want to become, you know, a drug addict or an alcoholic, and I want to, you know, be completely unhealthy, get no sleep. Nobody says that. But then a lot of us end up in one or all of those situations in life, and we never take a moment to lift our head up, figuratively speaking, and look at our life and go, is this the contribution that I'm making? Is this what I'm going to do with the life I've given? So I think I want to thank you, because so much of what you brought up today is, it's encouraging others. You are clearly doing it, and that being a focus for you, I mean, I can hear it in your voice. You're happy, you're calm, you're peaceful, you're content. You love what you're doing, and you're obviously leaving a great legacy, and that is to be very much respected. So I encourage everybody, as you're listening to this, to take a step back and don't just look at maybe how much weight you want to lose. Start thinking about what kind of life do you want to live? Because everything can be changed. When I had that aha moment in October of 15, you know, I just started looking at how I was working, how I had a five-year-old car and it only had 20,000 miles on it. What does that tell you? I was doing nothing but working. That's not the legacy I want to leave. So I'm able to, just like you said to me when we got on the call, Jay, you said, you want to change? Do it now. Don't say I'm making a change. Say you're changing and do it. I want to ask you one thing in closing, because you mentioned this before, and this is, I think, a good last point to touch on before we wrap up for our listeners, because again, we're talking about looking at fitness, health, and wellness from, you know, your whole life perspective, right? And you mentioned meditation and how important it is in your day. And that's something I've started to incorporate. I have to really work on stress release. And it's something a lot of people, if they don't know about meditation or what it means, they think it's kind of weird. And, you know, you're like, you're a hippie. If you're out there, we hear all these kinds of comments from people like, well, that's just for if you do yoga, or that's just if you're a vegetarian, that's when you meditate. How would you describe meditation, what it is and what its benefits are to somebody that's never done it and has no idea?
You know, when you walk in a room and you turn the lights on, everything's visible. Meditation is their complete opposite. It's when the lights are on, the life is running, the life is running. When you shut the lights off, that's meditation. You get a clear perspective. There's a calming aspect. That's when, you know, we're preparing our bodies and our minds for sleep. Meditation is as simplistic as the light on when you're running, and the light off is when you're shutting off. And the big thing that scares so many people about this is, oh, I've tried. I just get in my own way. Well, exactly. And it's, you don't have to go somewhere. You don't have to pay a guru millions of dollars. All you have to do, you can be on the train in New York City. Just take a deep breath, hold it, and exhale out. And here's the thing. Habits become behaviors when they're practiced not only habitually and you create a ritual, but you make the behavior very simplistic or an easy barrier of entry. Close your eyes for 10 seconds. Well, that's not meditating, but you're not doing it anyway, so why don't you just close it for 10 seconds? And then you work from there. We do, you know, in America, we two talent are good, so four must be better. If 100 hours of work it takes, I'm going to do it in, you know, 1,200 hours. Don't understand. BJ Fogg says it best. It's like things become a habit when they're done simplistically. You want to change your life? Put your sneakers in front of your door. You're more apt to go for a walk. You want to eat less? Walk around the buffet twice. You'll eat less because you'll focus on what you want. And I'll end it with this. Steve Jobs poignantly said at a commencement speech, he said he looks into the mirror after every day and he says, am I happy with what I'm doing? And if he feels he's answering the question no enough, he'll stop. It's just like a relationship. If you keep on saying, I'm not happy, then get out. We become so scared that we've said, same poop, different day. Well, that's just the way it is. Well, that's the way I was born. Well, that's a... We are this, and my your greatest strengths. My dad was my best mentor. Your greatest strengths are arm's length. What that means is you have everything out there you can change. All you do is pick up the phone, look on the internet. You have all these resources. If you don't know how to become successful, find out who you want to be and just model them. And what they did wrong, avoid it, and you'll get there. It's really that simple. It's the activation that takes such a long time. Get out of your own way and go for it.
Deep thoughts. And the only reason I laughed, I just wanted you to know, is I did not expect the word poop. You know, I know it's you were probably keeping it PG, but just when you said poop, I couldn't help but laugh, and I'm sorry.
No.
It's my Looney Tunes mind, Jay.
You know what it is? I'm conditioned in my house that we're not allowed to curse.
Right.
So I'm at my home office right now, so down the hall is my son's room, so he knows. He's not here now, but we say poop and we say, you know, things like that, as opposed to the more adult language.
Yeah, people that are around me know there's actually a pin on Pinterest that says, I'm not the type of person you want to have on speaker around your kids, but I can moderate, so I'm getting better. But my mom is always scolding me about my my proclivity and need to swear sometimes, but I'm working on it.
But here's the thing, Cal, curse. It creates a better rapport with people. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just conditioned. I'm in the environment of my home, so it's shut off, and I have to respect even when my son is not here, because what I would do in private, I want to be in public to him. Mm-hmm. Curse, it makes a rapport. It makes you seem more real. When you say BS and you're frustrated, tell people you're frustrated. It gets you to be real.
Yep.
I don't want to be the educator. I want to be the educated. So curse.
I believe you. And I practice it all the time.
Good.
And I'm just going to say it. There is no bullshit about that. How's that?
That's perfect.
So, Jay, it was obviously, I just love you to death. And it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. I can't wait to see you. I'm going to be in New York soon. And, you know, I'll text you so that we can go visit and chat. It's always wonderful. For those that are listening on the show, we will put this on the show notes. But just to close up, can you tell people where they can find you, where you suggest they follow you on social media?
Sure. It's the same for Instagram, Facebook. It's just my name, Jay Cardiello, JayCardiello, and just put a little at sign in front of it, and we'll connect. And if there's any, you have any concerns, issues, I answer everybody who writes me. So it may take me time, but I will get to you, I promise.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jay. We will have you back. And for those listening, we'll also be scheduling when he's back in the country, because I know you're getting ready to head out on some travel. But we'll be scheduling some Twitter chats with Jay as our co-host. But until next time, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the show with Jay Cardiello, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.